you gotta help me figure out how to play the intro. Our guest is Emily, who I believe did the cowboy on an episode you were not on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how you felt about me acting like the jester existed.
I thought it was funny.
I think that's funny to do to Boris, but I might get in trouble if I do it to Emily.
You probably shouldn't do that.
So I guess what I'm asking is, can you do the jester for me?
Oh, man. Sure.
Hell yeah. Well, tell you what, when she gets down here, we'll ask her if she wants to do the jester or host.
Okay.
Because if you're fair. The jester, you can't throw to yourself.
That's true. You could be, like, an old-timey court jester.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Bruce Day Tuesday Podcast, episode 673. I'm not doing it. But Tyler is. Here's Tyler Dryblatt.
I'm still putting the creepy bed under it.
It's fine.
Aha, hee hee. Bruce 2's time for thee. So, Dave, how hard was that? Easy. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
It's easy for you to say, Mr. Patriarchy.
Huh?
I'm in a mood.
What?
I'm sorry. I don't know. It's you can't get canceled on the internet for being weird as a man.
I don't understand what's happening. Is there context I don't have?
No.
Is there breaking news?
No.
Hey, well, here with some really unsettling energy are the Ginsburgs. Hey, how's it going?
Don't put that voodoo on me. I haven't been that weird yet.
Sam's bullying me.
I don't think that's accurate.
I won't be bullied.
I don't think that's accurate. Okay. The energy isn't getting any less strange, but I guess I'll go into a familiar ground. What are you drinking?
I am drinking Cobble Up, cobbler-inspired sour ale with cranberry, sweet cherry, cinnamon, vanilla, graham crackers, and lactose from Low Dally Brewing Beer.
I truly...
That clearly says daily.
Dang it!
Stop bullying her.
It does say daily.
I truly, truly thought you meant cobbler, like somebody who put together a shoe, and I was like, why would that inspire a flavor? Like, dirty leather?
So much cooler.
It helps if you can see the cam. That
I probably,
those look like pies, not
pies.
Cobbler. But I'm curious, Tyler, if you understand the great joke that is this... title for a beer.
No, I don't get it.
Yeah, Emily didn't either. It's a reference to the Kendrick Lamar song Squabble Up.
Yeah. I'm only familiar with Kendrick in that he won that battle with Drake.
Yeah, I only started listening to him because he made Drake so unhappy, and I was like, anyone who makes Drake unhappy is cool with me.
Yeah, I hear that.
There's no floaties. There's so many ingredients and there's no floaties.
Did it say, like, be careful, there's going to be floaties in
it? No, I just thought there would. There always are.
All right, so tell me, give me quick yes, no's on cranberry.
Yeah.
Sweet cherry.
Sure.
Cinnamon.
Yeah.
Vanilla. Graham crackers.
No.
Lactose.
Probably.
Sour.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not
bad.
That's
most of them. That's most of them.
It's pleasantly tart and fruity. It does taste a lot like if you turned canned cranberry sauce into a beer.
And you love canned cranberry sauce.
But in a good way.
So that works out.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're drinking it because I don't think I would enjoy it very much. I have Dogfish Head's Grateful Dead Citrus Daydream Lager. It is a lager with lime, lemongrass, lemon peel, and fonio grain. 5.3% ABV. Clear, very clear. Not much of a head. Bubbles seem to be similarly sized from what bubbles there are. Definitely getting, like, lemon peel up in there for sure, up in the nose. Yeah, that's a lot of citrus. I mean, they're not wrong. It tastes like a citrus lager. It's just like, I don't know. I guess probably people who like this sort of thing would be like, it's very bright up front and clean towards the back. But I feel like it's kind of sweet up front and then boring at the back. So it's like fine. Fine so far is what I would say.
Fine.
Yeah.
Rave reviews.
Yep. Sam, what kind of instrumentation are you using this week? Now you're back into your game, your content.
Yeah, so I don't know if you can see what's happened here.
You sliced off the top of something.
No, that's just my bottle. I opened it already.
He really wants to go drink out of a plastic bottle in Europe, and he can't get the experience.
Oh, of having the lid attached to the... Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
oh.
So I'll tell you what's happening here. There's two things happening at once. I peeked ahead, and the thing for this week, the tip for opening a bottle of beer when you don't have a bottle opener, is one that I've done a number of times, and I can attest works, but yeah. would make Emily really upset to behold. So slam I decided...
Yeah.
No, I used my mouth. Just...
Oh, that makes me upset.
Yeah, me and Squirrel always did that together in college.
God damn.
We're on the same dental insurance. Don't do that.
I didn't when I was hanging out with Squirrel. And also, you can't really tell because the video's not good enough. But this...
It looks like a wine, like the top of a wine thing over the cork.
It looks like the top of a wine thing where you have to, like, scrape around the edge. Yeah. But it's like... I think it's trying to seem wax sealed, but I think it's like... I don't know, maybe it is wax.
No, that's just what they put on wine bottles.
It's like...
Yeah,
I guess I don't drink that much wine, so maybe this is just normal.
I mean, like, that does look more plasticky than, like, usually wine bottles, it's an actual foil, but...
It really reminds me of, like, electrical tape, which doesn't appeal to me. But enough about that. That was my content. Good job, me. From the brewery, which I think is, like, Mary's fave, this is Churiosity. So, like, churro curiosity.
Yeah.
Imperial Stout, brewed with dulce de leche, milk sugar, and cinnamon, 10.7%.
Miss? Cinnamon always tricky.
Heavy cinnamon in the nose. Man, but between the cinnamon and the, like, booze fumes, I could taste it before I had tilted it all the way up to my mouth. I have to try that again. Yeah. Because I feel like I just got, like, cinnamon and ethanol. I guess cinnamon and ethanol are two of the main notes, so that makes sense. I don't really get dulce de leche. I get dulce. You know what that means, of course, Tyler.
Sweet.
There it is. Didn't know if you knew. It's very sweet. It's very rich. Cinnamon booze.
It does say that it is best stored and served at 55 degrees. And it has been in our fridge, which notoriously runs a little cold.
You're right. I should be patient with it and see
how
much it brightens up.
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point. All right. Well, let's go to our first article. You got to be patient for this one. ESPN.com. If you were a Scottish fan, you really had to be patient trying to find some booze because Scotland fans drink Boston dry as local bars run out of beer. As we all know, the World Cup is going down in the United States, and one of the major venue cities, Boston, played host to the Tartan Army, which is the Scottish team's supporters, I guess, and they started to drink a bunch of pubs dry, or at least drink them damp. One of my favorite quotes in here is, where is it? Fuck,
the Scottish fans just drank the place dry, and all they had was Bud Light.
Yes, yes, thank you, Samuel. Incredible, right? Absolutely incredible. Like, they don't even believe that it's Bud Light is a beer, which, I mean, fair. It really isn't. So I that's a great line. Also seems like maybe they should have been ready for this, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like people don't think about Scotland and drinking in the same way as they think of, for instance, Ireland and drinking.
Oh, I don't think it has anything to do with them being Scottish. I just think, like, they're like, oh, the World Cup is coming here, and every European on Earth is going to be here for it. Maybe we should have, like, a lot of beer.
I'd be interested to see stats on, like, per capita, how much the England fans versus Ireland fans versus Scotland fans versus, like, Curacao? Isn't that one of them? Isn't that a new one this year?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure, like, the Saudi Arabian team or whatever isn't drinking, but...
Well, we're not just talking about the team, we're talking about the supporters. Right,
the fans.
But yeah, but the fans. Also the supporters probably a good deal less for reasons.
I would imagine so. I would imagine so.
But also probably the U.S. fans are drinking less, would be my guess.
Depends on what part of the country.
Well, Boston is also like a drinking city, you know? It's not like they're in like Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I wonder if... Maybe part of the issue is their venues are only so big, and they're like, our back room was full of beer, and it can't be more full than full.
Yeah, that's fair. I would accept that, Samuel. I'll accept that.
But then it does get to a point where it starts to feel like it's a point of pride for the Scots.
Yeah.
Like, wanting to drink until it's gone, so they said that they did.
Yeah.
So that they could say that they did and move on to the next place?
Like locusts. Have you watched any of the World Cup?
I've seen a couple of highlights.
Yeah. But I'm
not going to sit down and watch a World Cup game, I don't think. If the U.S. does really well and makes it to the semis or something, maybe I'll try and catch that. That won't happen.
I feel like the last several, I'm just so, as an American, so bored by football. Please. As an American, just so bored by football that I yawned right in the middle. I feel like the last few World Cups, I've been like in situations where I've had to catch like a game or two. Like I think the last one, I was in the airport for like a long time, and I saw like two or three games. And the one before that, I don't know. But this year, I haven't caught anything. Just, it's not been on my radar.
I've found that I can always watch sports, and I don't care what the sport is, or what the stakes are, or if I have anyone to root for. And it's just like, Emily always gets Olympics fever during Olympics times. And just whatever she's watching, unless it's ice skating, probably... almost anything she's watching, I won't even know like how it works. Like, she's watching surfing and explaining the rules of professional surfing to me, and I was like, "All right." And I watched surfing. I can just pretty much any time just sit down and watch sports because I love watching sports, which is why it's about a half dozen times she said, "Hey, you know, we already pay for what is it, the Disney Plus thing, and we could pay just a tiny bit more to upgrade to one with ESPN and." That's specifically a not a good idea, because if I could just watch sports whenever, I'll just watch sports whenever, and the house will fall into decay.
Yeah, I like to think that maybe it would be a background thing, but it wouldn't.
I'm more interested in Emily's Olympic fever. What are your favorite events?
I mean, like, I don't know. Growing up, I was always like, I want to watch gymnastics and ice skating because they're pretty. And as an adult, I've discovered that I don't care at all about watching sports for the sports, but I do love watching sports for the lore. So every time...
You like the stories, like the storylines.
Yeah, every time they're like, this is the drama that is happening, and the dude booped the curling stone, and I'm like, I must know everything.
And you got really invested in Pommel Horse Steve.
I got really invested in Pommel Horse Steve. Oh,
the hottie with the glasses?
Yeah. Just like all of the, give me a dumb underdog story, but like.
Or give me everyone glazing Simone Biles and then Simone Biles being really good, like everyone knew she was going to.
What about, so? Do you Like, are you into, like, professional wrestling, or do they have to be, like, actual storylines?
No, I don't want the story to, like, actually play into the event at all. I don't care about, like, oh, they're playing dirty because they hate this team. Don't care about that. You know, the downhill skier getting proposed to, or the dude who, like, cheated on his girlfriend and won a medal and used the press conference. That's what I want.
Okay, so... So but do you so need to watch...
That feels a little disingenuous, though, because you watch the events.
I do like watching
You could just look at r/Olympics and get all
right,
the
Right, that's what I was just going to say. So, like, how does the actual sport factor into it? Because you don't just read the after-game reviews or whatever.
I gotta tell you, I've never actually thought about it that hard.
Huh.
Because, like, you loved watching, like, I already brought up surfing.
I did watch a lot of surfing.
And, like, when you watched, what was the weird type of basketball where it's 3-on-3 and it never stopped?
I think that was just, like, street basketball or
Is that
something.
What it was called?
Street basketball.
It's, like, something stupid like that. It might actually just be 3-on-3.
But it wasn't just 3-on-3 basketball. Like, there's different rule set. Like, there wasn't stoppages and stuff. And it was kind of weird to watch. And you watched a lot of that and didn't know any of those people and didn't care about any of those people.
Yeah, that's true. I like a weird sport. I don't want to watch a mainstream sport just for the sport, I guess.
Yeah, I think the only Olympic thing that I would really go out of my way to catch would be basketball or hockey. But those are just sports that I already like watching. In real life.
All right.
You gotta watch that kayak cross. Was it kayak cross?
I think that's where they start
4 feet in the air and then drop down into the river and then have to like slalom in kayaks.
I don't watch any of the Olympics.
It's fucking bizarre, dude. You should check it out.
One of my friend's exes, her brother. Is an Olympic snowboarder. So, like, I watched the ones where he was competing.
To root?
I don't know, just to see, because, like, I know him, you know? But he medaled. I can't remember exactly what he got, but he medaled. It's cool, I guess.
I don't like the term medaled. It sounds too much like the term meddled.
I don't like?
In a game with lots of cheating, you know?
Right. I don't like winningest. I hate that term. He's the winningest coach? Shut the fuck up.
You just wanted him to say he is the coach who has won the most?
Yeah, winningest? That's a terrible word.
Give me a better adjective. Say in one word to capture the idea
most that successful.
One word, actually. And that was two.
I'll get back to you, but I feel like I can do better than winningest.
See, I used to really get on people like for grammar shit.
Yeah.
And I've transitioned a lot into being more of a descriptivist. And I think we were talking about this the other week about how I think it should be acceptable for people to say funner, even though funner isn't a word. I don't think I would say funner, but I'm okay with people saying funner because it's an efficient way to get across the idea of more fun and everyone knows what you mean.
Yeah.
And winningest is kind of the same thing. I think that is actually a word, but like give me a more efficient way of getting that concept across and I'll use it.
Yeah, yeah. I guess my problem with winningest is how it's more about the mouthfeel of it. Like I don't like saying winningest.
No one's gonna make you say it.
They make me say it all the time. Every day people are pointing guns at my head. And they're like, Tyler, you better say winningest or it's lights out, bitch.
More I don't like know why you keep hiring. Am I right?
Got him! And when I edit it, there won't be a 6-second pause while you think up that great burn. Yeah, incredible. I'm going to leave that in.
Incredible. Okay, well, that's all for that, I guess. Right? Right, you guys?
Yep.
Yep.
I know, Samuel, that you said that the beer opening stuff was your content, but it was Father's Day recently.
Yeah,
did you do anything fun for Father's Day? Did you enjoy your Father's Day?
I had ribs.
That's good. I like ribs.
Ribs and French fries and baked beans.
Nice.
and I was allowed 15 minutes with no one bothering me, sitting on the back deck while I drank a beer.
That's good.
And I got a mug. And some, you know, some kid shit. You know, kids always have their shit about how they love you and shit.
Well, that seems like the interesting part.
Well, so it's like their school has them do art projects, but it's like just, you know, color this and whatnot.
There, I remember I made my dad a paper tie, and I believe I drew scenes from the classic episode 1 Phantom Menace on the paper tie.
You got any double-sided lightsabers on there?
I think it was a lot of like Naboo starfighters, you know.
Ugh.
What can I
feel
say?
Like if you want to communicate episode 1, you need to use Darth Maul.
Yeah. Well, I was 11.
Yeah. I guess the best, the one that's the most worth talking about, because like pictures are cute, but I can't just describe a picture to you. They like had a pseudo Mad Lib. Mad Lib is the word. Fill in the blank, I guess. Just like, I love my dad because, and my dad's favorite thing, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And one of the things was, my dad always says, and it just said donut. Now, is my catchphrase donut? And I didn't know.
Are you Homer Simpson?
Well, no, that would just be dough. Stop it halfway through.
He does also notoriously eat donuts.
Yes,
I know. Yeah, all the time. Emily, do you think Sam is always saying donut?
No, so I think our anniversary was this week, and we always get donuts on our anniversary. So I suspect that it was that we had eaten donuts Tuesday night with dinner, and then Wednesday morning they went to school and went, we're going to fill these things out.
And donut, that was the first thought, the best thought.
This same child filled out a similar thing for Mother's Day, wherein she said, my mom is really good at chicken. So
you are the cook of the household.
Yeah. I think she had said that there was another question about like the best thing my mom cooks, because all of these come from the internet and they're all a little sexist. But she had just said enchiladas for the previous question, so I suspect that was just still on her mind.
Amazing.
But I believe what she said Sam was best at was like giving hugs. So
that's pretty good.
It was she. Except now, I need each of these to give me a separate dopamine boost. But she said like, my favorite thing Dad does is give me hugs, and a different thing was like, the thing Dad is best at is, and she wrote give me hugs. And I was like, you already used that one.
No, she said telling you stuff for one of those. And you just put both of those into the same.
She said give you hugs is two different things. I forget which two they were, but she said give you hugs is two of them.
Well, she really likes the hugs, brother.
Space Prez said that her favorite thing to do with me is watch me play phone games.
Now, how does that make you feel?
Not great.
And
she said my favorite food was beans.
Was
but
beans?
She spelled it bins?
She got you too confused, I think, is what's going on.
She does play phone games with me sometimes, but not as much as Emily.
Yeah. I do play a lot of phone games. But, yeah, I was very confused because she had written that my favorite food was bins. And then we later discovered that she was just in charge of spelling it on her own and that was beans.
Are you into those, like, missed play games and shit that give you money?
No, certainly not.
The amount they spend on the money for the ads is enough to communicate that this, whatever this is, doesn't work and is a scam.
Oh, absolutely. I was just curious.
Yeah, I do not receive money from my phone games, but I also refuse to give money to my phone games.
That's
fair. I do give
asterisk
them my attention so that, you know, the
ads
are...
You spent $10 on Pokemon Go 6 years ago?
I have spent, I think, cumulatively, like, $20 on Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go, that's
fine.
But, like,
realistically, that's... I've been playing it for 8 years, and that's less than I would have paid for, like, a Pokemon video game, so...
Yeah,
I don't feel that bad about that one.
That's like Nintendo, you know, not like, you know, KCBH Productions or whatever that's based in Myanmar.
Yeah. They never promised me no ads, and honestly, they don't give me ads.
Every now and then, you have a Pokestop that says, sponsored by Starbucks, but those are only ever in the airport.
Yeah, and I guess sometimes they give you, like, little balloons you can click on that give you items if you watch, like, a weird 4-second animation about McDonald's, and you're like, all right.
Huh.
I'm sure they'll add more and more slowly, and we'll barely notice forever. And then eventually we'll delete it.
Probably. Or we'll die.
Fingers crossed.
That's right. Amen. Okay. Let's go to our next article. Speaking of making me want to die, AmericanCraftBeer.com. I just hate being reminded that it's America 250. Like, it just makes me mad every time. This one is, Pabst Blue Ribbon celebrates America's 250th anniversary with enormous 250-ounce beer pack. So it's not the pack that makes me mad. It's just the whole 250 thing. I don't like it.
Yeah, so you can't be mad at Pabst for this. They have to do this.
No, I'm not mad at them. But they are releasing this pack. It is 10 25-ounce beer cans of PBR. And it's stacked up to look kind of like a fireworks product.
I think for what they're going for, this is pretty good branding-wise.
This is all right.
I think a 25-ounce mega can is a fun idea. And since it's PBR, that's still a single serving.
Nobody's getting drunk.
I mean, there's less booze in that than the beer I'm drinking right now.
Yeah.
I'm not good at math. Check me on this. We're not talking 12-pack big or even 30-pack big. What we're dealing with here is a January 1st, a beer package containing 250 ounces of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. A rack is more than 250 ounces.
Substantially more, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just if you're going to, like, advertise it as, like, this is a huge amount of beer and it's less than the standard amount of beer that you sell, that feels weird.
Perhaps they're saying we're not talking about the bombast of a 30. There's more bombast in this than a 30 rack. There's just less beer in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like one of the biggest cans that I'm aware of. 25 ounces. That's a big ass can. But yes, like there's less than the whole pack.
Like you can buy a 25 ounce can of Four Loko at a gas station.
25 ounces?
I think so. That's a can size that exists. They did not.
Really?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you got that big can of hashtag hazy.
Oh, I did get that big can of hashtag hazy.
I'm pretty sure that was 25.
Oh, man. Yeah, Budweiser has a 25-ounce can. All right, now I hate this.
So this is even more disappointing. Honestly,
I'm sorry I poked all the holes in this.
Based on the art on the box, it looks to me, and maybe this is just that I'm dumb, it looks like it's taller and wider, but when you actually see the can, it looks like it's just taller. And I think that is worse for a reason I can't put my finger on. I want it to be the same scale as a 12-ounce can, just like someone dragged the corner up and out to make
like
it bigger.
Like Boban's 12-ounce can.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm out. Like, the 25-ounce can is already around, so what's the point of this? I've U-turned.
Yeah, I still think it's smart. I haven't doubled back on that thought.
Sure.
Because people are definitely going to buy this for the novelty. But it's dumb.
But it's not even that novel, I guess, is my problem. I don't think you're wrong.
Look at the box, though.
Box is good. The box is good. The fact that it looks like the... Yeah.
If you're 22... Sure. And you're, like, going to a friend's house to shoot off fireworks and barbecue or whatever. Like,
yeah.
You're going to bring this so everyone thinks you're cool.
It does look like a pack of Roman candles. It's got a monster truck on there. I get it.
We're not the target audience, but the target audience for this is vast and dumb. So they'll buy it.
just like America herself. Man, I don't know. This is an abrupt change, but I really dodged a bullet at work the other day. So I was out kayaking, and I was leading a kayak program. And when I came back, I guess somebody had, like, just run into the station looking to see if anybody knew CPR because somebody got hit by a car on the side of the road. And if you remember, they made me get that EMR certificate. So if I hadn't been out kayaking, I would have had to go out and do CPR on this person.
And so did someone else do CPR, or are they just thankfully dead?
Yeah, they were. They were.
Yikes, man. And that's the good news you have for me this week.
I didn't say it was good news. I said I dodged a bullet. That's all I said.
We're just such different people, because I think I would be, I would feel the weight of their soul on mine. Like, God damn it. If I'd just gotten back 10 minutes earlier, maybe I could have helped.
No. From what I understand, because I did look it up. Like, they were pretty much gone, like, immediately. They were on, like, an e-bike, and they got thwacked by a truck. And, yeah.
Then why did someone come, like, so if you had been there, and they had said, come quick, if you can CPR, you would have gotten there and been like, oh, he dead.
I would have still had to do it. I would have had to do it until, like, medical professionals show up.
Even if they're visibly dead?
Like, if he didn't have a face, then probably I wouldn't have had to do it. But I don't think that's what it was. Like, I think it was, like, internal injuries and shit. So I wouldn't know. I would have gone there and checked for a heartbeat and been like, oh, there's no heartbeat. Well, I guess I have to do CPR. And then I would have done that until EMS showed up.
And they you think if this person had stayed with them and started doing bad CPR instead of running to look for someone who could do good CPR, they would have stood a better chance?
Well, so from what I understand, CPR is effective a very small percentage of the time anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, even if it does work, most people don't come back, like, good. They come back with, like, brain damage because they didn't get a lot of oxygen to the brain. So, I don't know why you guys are focused on this other person who somehow died. Like, this is about me and how I lucked out.
Well, congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
And were you kayaking just for fun? Or
no, no, no. I was leading a program. I was leading a program.
Okay.
I had people on the water, so, like, you know, you could say that I saved them by getting them safely back to shore.
And when you, if you have a kayak, that's a one-er, right? That's just one guy in there.
Yeah, correct.
So, I'm just imagining guided tours I've been on. The guide does a lot of being in front because they know where they're going, but then turning and walking backwards so they can address the crowd. Do you shout over your shoulder, or do you have a sick move where you turn your kayak 180 degrees and paddle backwards while you talk to them?
The one. You know, I'm also a certified kayak instructor. For real. They made me get that in my job, too. I am not joking. I talked the other week about how I was leading the kayak rescue training.
Are we still allowed to be friends with him?
Why?
I'm a jock now,
I didn't know you hated kayaks so much.
I just feel like certified kayak instructor sounds like such a douchebag job. Well, like, if I met a guy at a bar and he told me he was a certified kayak instructor, I'd be like, I gotta...
You wouldn't say, I've been married for 9 years, leave me alone?
That's not a panty dropper? Why did I even do it?
I mean, like, I don't want to have a conversation with the certified kayak.
Too late now.
Yeah, too late now.
Fair. I don't have a one-on-one conversation.
In my defense, again, I didn't do this, like, for my personal life. Like, they made me get it for the job. Just like I didn't get the EMR certificate for fun, they made me get that.
I feel like a lot of those types of bonus certifications end up giving you extra compensation. Anything there?
No.
No, that's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do a sweet move and I paddle backwards. But also, like, we have two people, so, like, I don't have to paddle backwards the whole time. I'm in the lead, and then there's a person who's, like, at the very end, so nobody gets lost, you know?
Oh, you have a rear guard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What do you do if someone just, like, gives up halfway through? I can't paddle anymore.
That's happened before. I clipped them to my kayak and I have to paddle them back.
You just have to paddle twice as hard.
Yeah, for real.
And is there a fine associated?
No.
So there would be nothing stopping me from, like, signing up with me and six of my most homeless friends and all of us saying, nah, we don't feel like it. Daisy chain us?
Well, I guess it depends, like, when you did that. Because if it was, like, a quarter of the way out, I'd be like, well, we're just going to turn around and go back. But if we're, like, halfway out, then I guess I would have to figure something out. I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
I think your kayak has a secret motor on it, and you would just use that.
I wish.
Well, we've reached the end of this topic.
Cool. Okay. You know what? Honestly, I'm going to take that as a win. You did more engaging with that than you normally do with what I bring to the table. So I'm going to take the win. Go to our last article, irishexaminer.com. Heineken's plan to bring Murphy's to U.S. drinkers take shape as cork stouts booming. We all know Heineken. We know Heineken for their Heineken beer, I guess. But they also control Murphy's and Beamish, which are two pretty well-known stout brands over in the old U.K. And apparently they're doing really...
Murphy's before.
I also feel like I've at least seen Murphy's. I don't know if I've had it. I've never seen Beamish. Beamish reminds me of this guy I went to high school named Matt Bemis, who everybody called Tweezle, which I'm sure he loved looking back on it.
Why Tweezle? Is there a joke I'm not getting?
Because he looked like a cross between a twig and a weasel.
So I feel like maybe you didn't give me all the context that I needed to understand why that nickname made sense. I was trying to figure out a pun on his name, because that's all I know.
Nope. You like that one, huh?
On the one hand, that's a really mean-spirited nickname. But on the other hand, I nicknamed that one kid on the Frisbee team just because he was slightly irritating me in the moment, Dick Mouth, and people called him Dick Mouth for a little while.
I really appreciate the absolute lack of context.
I don't know what to tell you. That was the whole, he looked like a twig and also a weasel, so people called him Tweezle. It's kind of like, I mean, this isn't like a Mike Poohander, a.k.a. Two Poo Thoo situation. Nothing to do with the name.
Right. Also, that was actions that he took.
That's also true.
Not just his appearance.
That's also true. Yeah. But anyway, so both of these stout brands, Murphy's and Tweezle, I mean Beamish, are seeing big growth in the UK, and they're looking to come over here. I guess that
oh, no.
I think it's Murphy's. No? What's no?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just saw the phrase creamy beamy, and I got it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, apparently the youth are really, really love creamy beamy is what they're saying here. That's their, like, pet name for it. And they got plans to bring it over here. I think they're already in a couple markets in, like, the New York area, but they have plans to accelerate that growth. I guess they feel like now is the moment for stouts.
Yes. Summer.
I don't know. So I don't think they mean that, like, they're going to start coming out with a Murphy's stout, like, in August. I just think this is when the article is coming out. This is probably a long-term plan.
Honestly, it would have been smart if they could have accelerated their plan and gotten it in all those bars in Boston.
Truly. Truly. Yeah.
Get some European flavors for the Europeans.
Right. That would have been a good idea. So on the one hand, I'm like, that's good, because I'm pretty fucking sick of IPAs, and I'd like to see, like, some stouts take the lead. But if they're anything like Guinness, they're not stouts I'm going to like, which is the problem.
Yeah, no, I think this probably sucks.
Okay.
Although we don't have to get into, again, the different Guinnesses in different locales thing.
Right.
We don't know if this is going to be the same as in the old country or not.
That's true.
But I'm highly skeptical of all of it.
Yeah, Stacks. I mean, like, this is never going to be equivalent to, like, a craft stout. I have two things I want to talk about, and one of them has to do with this article and one doesn't. Does anyone have any idea what flavored beers are now a growing segment? 2.0 Heineken beers were launched last month, and she did not rule out a launch of a Murphy Stout Zero product in the future. Are non-alcoholic beers just now called flavored beers? And also, how are there two more Heineken Zeros?
Well, I think probably there's like a Heineken Zero twist of lemon and a Heineken Zero spicy. Probably not that one.
But I think agree.
That's what they mean by flavored beers.
Okay, but the zero and the flavored beers are unrelated things that they just were like, we got two sentences, fill it.
Much the same way as last week I had Busch Light Apple on the show. I think that would be a flavored beer.
He's exactly right. If you click on the link, it says Heineken launches new flavored zero beers in Ireland. Way to go, Sam.
What were the flavors?
Was it
twist of lemon and spiced?
It was actually Orphan and Shoe. No, lemon elderflower and nectarine juniper.
I kind of feel like I was pretty close.
You got it. I'll give you a half. I will give you 50% on that.
Also, I would try either of those. Not that I'm drinking as many NAs as I was at one point, I would still try those.
All right,
I think I would try them if they were like fruit tea beverages, but not beers. So what's the other thing you wanted to say there, Stacks?
I just wanted to say, have you also been struggling with the, like, there are still only IPAs and stouts and it's June? Because I'm so mad that no one will make just, like, you know, a blonde ale or a Hefeweizen or a Belgian of any kind. No one will do it, seemingly.
I mean, we're only a couple days into summer here, and I feel like spring forgot to have a lot of spring beer flavors, like a Hef and a Belgian. Like, IPAs are spring beers and summer beers, and I saw a lot of IPAs, but also I see a lot of IPAs year round, so I feel like I shouldn't even count them as spring and summer beers anymore.
I this is a good point. I'm seeing a lot of like fruited IPAs, and I think like the fruity part is supposed to be the summer stuff, but I haven't seen a blonde in forever, man. That's a good point.
It's just, I want a patio beer, and I don't want it to be super hoppy, and no one will give that to me. And by no one, I mostly mean Hop House, because I don't get out much, but...
No, it's,
We're like, we have our new spring beer, and it was a porter. No, right, it was a brown ale. Sorry.
I don't know. I think we've talked kind of for years now about how like people are just brewing beers that they think are actually gonna sell. What a concept. And so it's all kind of just become like two or three styles, and I don't think any of us are a fan of that.
I mean, I haven't taken a look at their books, but I'd be curious to see, are these out of season beers doing well for them? Because I'm not seeing people drink them when I'm there, but maybe they are.
I don't know. I can't say that I'm seeing a lot of stouts still hanging around, but it's just IPA after variation of IPA is mostly what I'm feeling.
I do love an IPA, but
there's
diminishing returns when it's half of your board.
Correct. Correct. Talk about bored. Another weird thing that happened to me at work. Some lady called in, she was looking for information on an incident back in the 60s when she was 8 years old. She got washed out to sea and her father died trying to rescue her. And she was like, hey, do you have any information about this? Because it happened right by your park. I was like, oh my God, what the hell?
What? Is she writing a memoir or something?
I don't know.
Google it for her?
Yeah, well, I newspaper.com'd it for her. Because we obviously didn't have anything in park records, but as part of my job, I have like a Ancestry and newspapers.com account. Newspapers.com is actually pretty cool. If they want to sponsor us, that wouldn't be bad. You can find some interesting things on there. Ancestry.
We do news on here. It's relevant.
No, I'm just saying, like, you can search back for. Like,
no, I know. I'm explaining to newspapers.com.
Oh, yeah, totally for sponsor sure. us. Yeah, absolutely. They should. Absolutely. They should. I don't know. I think it's an interesting tool. But I found, like, a bunch of articles about it, like, the initial, like, drowning, and then, like, his body didn't show back up for, like, a week, and I found some articles about it washing up on shore and sent those to her, but it was like, Jesus Christ, that's horrible, man.
But, like, was there anything she didn't already know?
I don't know. I don't know what she did know. You know? She said that she had found an article that came out, like, September 8th, like 1960 something, and I found other articles that were not from that date, so presumably those were things she hadn't seen. Whether or not they had more information, that I don't know.
And so you just, like, email her some links to newspapers articles she can't read?
No, I downloaded newspapers.com, it's got a fantastic UI. You can clip out segments and download them as PDFs. It's great.
Now, I'm going to pretend I don't know how this works at all, just so you can explain all the features and benefits.
Right. So I downloaded some articles and sent them over to her.
Now, hold on. This, what I'm about to say might undercut our likelihood of getting a sponsorship with newspapers.com. Yeah. But if you can download articles, how about this? We buy a shitload of servers, one subscription to newspapers.com, download all their shit, put it all on our servers. We call it coolnewspapers.com, and ours is slightly cheaper than theirs.
Yeah, that might cost us some ad revenue, Sam. I don't know.
I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it for my great idea.
Okay. But yeah, some pretty crazy memento mori incidents, I would say, recently in my job.
Any in yours?
Other than you work in the healthcare.
No, just me.
I'm just trying to make you do a content, but we're kind of at the buzzer here. You want to say anything interesting?
I haven't had anything interesting. I was told that I have the medical sensibilities of a 60-year-old farmer, and that's maybe my proudest moment.
At work?
Friend of the show Lars Gern told me that seemed like I was a 60-year-old farmer.
We didn't talk about your illness.
Yeah, I figured.
So, like, you need to give some context.
Were ill?
I had sepsis, bitch.
Jesus Christ. Well, so did my dad. He's fine now. You seem fine now.
Yeah. It wasn't bad sepsis. It was, like, a little sepsis.
And acute kidney failure?
And acute kidney failure, yes, also that.
Did you go to the hospital? Technically
speaking. Yeah.
That's how
I found out. I went to the hospital and I was like, this is stupid. I don't need to be here. I shouldn't be wasting everyone's time. And then they came in and they're like, hey, by the way, so you have sepsis. So we're going to admit you.
So I think
shutting down your kidneys.
I think that's where Lars's comment came from.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I see.
She's a stubborn, gruff old man of a woman.
I see. I thought because you work for, like, a medical technology company, I thought somebody at work was like, you're fucking terrible at this.
No, totally unrelated to work stuff.
Unrelated.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I just was like, this is stupid. I shouldn't be at the hospital, but the doctor told me to come here. And I guess they were right. Because apparently I had become so dehydrated that I was peeing a little bit of blood.
Dog. You know what? Focus on
trace
positive.
Trace amounts of blood.
I'm glad
almost
you're okay
no
now.
Blood.
Almost no blood is not the amount of blood you want.
I mean,
almost is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence.
Well, everyone knows that blood and urine is a little bit of a rough combination, but what about cranberry, sweet cherry, cinnamon, vanilla, graham crackers, and lactose?
Nailed it. Drained it. Nothing but net.
So much squeaking. Will you gesticulate wildly?
Wait, is this more mouse cinema?
I get it.
Yeah, so I had, low daily, cobble up, cobbler-inspired sour ale.
Yo, that is a funny pun, dude.
Yeah, yeah, I thought so too. Sam already very kindly relisted all of the flavors. I thought this beer was good. Would I pick out cobbler from a, like, if you asked me without telling me what this beer was supposed to taste like? No, absolutely not. But it was a nice fruity sour. It was more on the tart spectrum as opposed to the, like, really mouth-puckeringly sour end of the scale. It did kind of taste like if you just fermented canned cranberry sauce, which is weird for this time of year, but it's more refreshing than you'd think. I'm gonna give it a 7.8 and recommend it to all of our sour loving friends, as we do with every sour, because quite frankly I don't know how to recommend a sour in good faith to anyone who doesn't already like them.
Big ups to Jed and Mary.
Yeah. Okay, I had Dogfish Head Grateful Dead Citrus Daydream Lager. I don't know what this has to do with the Grateful Dead, but it did taste a lot like citrus and lager.
Do they have a song called Citrus Daydream?
I think they have some sort of daydream song.
I don't fuck with Grateful Dead.
Me neither. Hippie shit. I think they have a couple Grateful Dead beers in Dogfish Head. I don't really know. But this was, like, fine, I guess. The citrus was, I feel like, a little too sweet for me, and the lager was a little kind of boring, but it wasn't really, like, terrible. I'll give it a 5.5. It was fine, and I'll recommend this to any deadheads out there. Jerry lives, man! Samuel?
Sure. I had the brewery's Curiosity, and I did take my time with it to let it warm up a bit. And the main change in flavor is there's more like caramel notes, but the caramel notes kind of turn at the end to being like a burnt note that I think makes it less good. It might have been on purpose, but sometimes like there's a roasty toasty note that's pleasant, but a burnt note I don't really like. Maybe that's supposed to be chocolate. But it doesn't say it's supposed to taste like chocolate. You had a sip. What did you think?
I mean, I had a sip after drinking a sour, so...
Yeah, fair enough.
I thought it was good. I would drink more of it, but...
Probably thought it was sweet as the Dickens.
It was very sweet.
Right.
I'll give it a 4. It's not gross or anything. It's just... It doesn't feel like it achieved what it set out to do. Like, it doesn't give me churro at all, and it doesn't really... do the flavors it says it's going to do. Cinnamon and sweet, and that's really the main things you're getting.
Sweet and cinnamon.
What is he doing? What's happening?
He's just a little lad who loves cinnamon and sweet.
Man, I forgot about those commercials. That's not what I was doing, but good callback. I like that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I know it wasn't, but it's better.
Was that a berries and cream reference?
It was a berries
and
cream
reference. It was...
I'm lost in the sauce here, bro. You gotta get us out of here.
We're all over the place, but I was enjoying it. Okay, Stax, thank you for surviving your sepsis and being on the show.
Thanks for having me and putting up with my weird mood today.
Maybe you still have some leftover infection. I don't know, but you're not in the hospital, and that's what counts.
Yeah.
Samuel, what are you drinking next week? Any idea?
I do know. It's a spoiler, though. If I tell you, it's a spoiler for my content. Okay. So I'm going to keep it to myself.
Okay. All right. Well, listener, if you want to tell us about the happiest you've been at somebody's death, you can email us at brewstaytuesdaypodcast@gmail.com. You can comment on links at brewstaytuesday.com, or you can blue sky us at brewstaytuesday. Don't let us give it up. See you next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Comes up here, catch all your tears. Drink the remedy, forget about your problems. Here comes a shot, lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy, forget about your problems. This one's on me, fix you for free. Drink the remedy, forget about everything. This one's on me, got what you need. And take your medicine. She had this cobbler beer, and it awakened a memory for me that I don't know if you share.
Hmm.
Do you have any I don't know how to ask this question without tipping it. I associate you and a thing you said once with cobbler. Do you know what I'm talking about?
What? No, no idea. What did I say?
I think this would have been it. Remember the weird, like, half week we spent at Stephen Adelgren's house before college?
Yeah, yeah.
That was so strange.
So weird.
I didn't shower the whole time I was there, and Stephen thought that that was gross, and I thought that it was because his house was too scary to shower in.
Yeah.
So we had a meal. I think the meal we had was there, and there was fresh sweet corn.
Yeah.
And cobbler. And because of the way it was plated, some of the stuff ended up on other stuff. And you pointed to some corn on your cobbler and said, "Corn on the cobbler!" And then we would just go about our dinner, and then just anytime there was a lull of the conversation, "Corn on the cobbler!" Like some Jake Peralta-ass shit. It was very funny. And you probably only kept doing it because I kept laughing.
Right.
I was annoyed, but also I laughed every time. So I think of you when I think about cobbler for that reason.
That's awesome. That's great.